Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Good evening, everybody. Let's try that again. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on At Home with Victoria tonight. I am Victoria Gaither. You're a television host, journalist, and also TV media personality of the show. And we've got a very interesting show that we're doing tonight. Basically, the focus is entertainment. We've got a lovely young lady that is going to join us in a few moments, Valerie. And also at the bottom half of the hour, we're going to be talking with Jay. Jay, many of you may know because he was one of the contestants on TLC's The Next Great Baker. But until we get to Jay, Valerie is somebody that I probably, if I had to take a guess, you may have seen her on television because she's been in a lot of different types of episodes. Like, for example, one of my favorite, Law and Order, and we'll have the opportunity to talk to her a little bit about that. But Valerie Geffner is joining us on the line right now. Valerie, thank you so much for being here, darling. I appreciate it.
Oh, it is such a pleasure. Hello.
Listen, before the show actually started, you go ahead and point out something that I didn't think about with our initials.
Well, we do share the same valiant greatness with our initials, VG, and I love that. I don't know of any other woman offhand that has the VG power, and I'm just completely enjoying that link that we have. I think VG is so hot, and it just has a certain power to it, so immediately I love you.
Yes, well, thank you. I immediately love you, too. And you know what I thought about when you talked about power? For some reason, the Wonder Twin Powers cartoon came into my mind. Did you ever see that growing up, Wonder Twin Powers, where they were activate and shape of all these different things?
That's so great. Well, you made me just see it right now in my mind, so I'm with it now.
Well, in any event, with all of that said, that you and I share the same first and last initial, which is absolutely fabulous, talk a little bit about how it is that you decided to go into acting, and also you are in the music field as well. But let's talk a little bit about acting. Was that something that you wanted to do your entire life ever since you were a kid?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really started for me when I was in the fourth grade. I know that the summer that I was going into the fourth grade, I went to this all-girls sleepaway camp, and I did my first play. They were doing Annie, and I got cast as Rooster, the brother of Annie, which was very exciting. I had a very low voice even as a child, so I played that part well. And then when I came back to my hometown, Valley Stream, which I also like to refer to as Valerie Stream, but when I came back, my mother, who should be listening right now, my wonderful mother, who's one of my biggest fans and truly such a great support in my life, she got me involved at this place, the Cultural Arts Center, where I started to really do plays. And from that moment on, it became for me just a very healthy outlet. And specifically, I was really doing musicals. And it wasn't really until I went to Juilliard that I focused on doing theater. Before that time, the music and the musical theater life was much more the way that I was developing.
Mm-hmm. Interesting that you say that, because Juilliard was something that eventually I wanted to get to during our conversation tonight. How was that experience of you going to Juilliard? Because, you know, even if you're an average person, everybody sort of knows that Juilliard is like the Mac Daddy of the Mac Daddy when it comes to that sort of music field. So how was your experience like going there? And also, do you still keep in contact with some of your some of the other students that went there?
It's interesting because now, you know, a lot of things are integrating. After some years that I've been going through in terms of taking time away from acting and focusing on music, I now, thank God, just got an acting agent, and I'm really, in 2011, ready to integrate. And I also want to shout out that for the Chinese New Year, it's the year of the rabbit, and I am a rabbit.
Yes.
So it's going to be another special year of integration. So suddenly I'm starting to get reintegrated at Juilliard. And just this past week, I went to the Juilliard Archive Library because I started to really revisit my love for classic text. And specifically, I really love to do Greek theater and Shakespeare. And there was a role that I did there. I played Clytemnestra in the Oresteia. And it was one of those performances that people remember it that were there. And so I actually went back last week and watched the archive of it, which was really, really thrilling. Very fun.
When you had the opportunity to watch that, what were the type of thoughts that were actually going through your mind? I mean, did you think, wow, I was really good, I nailed this, or did you think, man, I was really good, but I probably could have used a little bit more attention here or there? So what was that thought for you seeing yourself again?
One of the things that really came up for me is just this awareness of me being at a place finally in my life of being truly comfortable in my own skin, comfortable in my own talent. So I was watching this part objectively, and it really was a very good performance. And I could see, you know, as an outsider, if I didn't know me inside, Valerie Gethin, at that time, how I would see, oh, very commanding, good presence, good with text. But I also know that at that time in my life, there was a lot of confusion. I wasn't feeling that this was exactly my path. Even at that time, before I played Clytemnestra that summer, I was in Israel, which sparked a lot of my spiritual light. And I even would meet with the head of the program at that time, Michael Kahn, asking for Friday night off to have Shabbat. So at this point in my life, I had a lot of spiritual turmoil, and I was still really searching. And I mean, it's actually an interesting story how I wound up going to Juilliard, because before I went to Juilliard, I'd come from this background of being at a musical theater high school and then going to the University of Michigan for musical theater, and that wasn't really feeling right. But there was somebody that was in my class, Ben Sherry, who I admired very greatly, and he was auditioning for Juilliard. And at that time, I really still was in the searching path, wondering what is going on, where do I belong?
Right.
And so I auditioned for Juilliard. And it was so funny because when I got the call in Ann Arbor that I had gotten in, one of the first questions I asked, I was like, did Ben get in? And he didn't get in. He did get a call back, and thank God he's doing very well. But somehow the universe has brought me to that, and suddenly, you know, I was in this class. I think that year it's a 1,200-people audition, and 7 women got in, 15 men.
Wow.
And it was a really deep thing, because most of the people that were in my class, unlike me, had been doing theater, were very clear that this was their dream, when in fact somehow the universe just brought me there, because I still was somewhat, you know, searching and not clear where my path was supposed to be, you know. So fate brought me there, and it wasn't always comfortable, but I did thrive. I got a lot of great parts, but during my time there, I still was in this quest that now finally is resolving and making sense, you know.
Well, and you know, Valerie, it's interesting because that those numbers quickly put things into perspective for anybody when you talked about the number of people that tried out and the amount of women that actually got in. I mean, when you said that, I mean, you can clearly tell that that is an honor, not only an honor, you know, you must have been very good at what you were doing, and they obviously saw potential, because that quickly puts things into perspective, that number.
It's cute. They have a story that I, you know, in the auditions, they don't say prepare a song, but during the callback session, and I was in Chicago because I was in Ann Arbor at the time, so I auditioned in Chicago, and then when I was called back, Michael Kahn threw at me. He was like, okay, sing a song. And the night before, I had spent, you know, the very own time in my own hotel room. I was really excited to be in Chicago and to be auditioning, and I had my monologues prepared. And so when he said, can you sing a song, I sang a song that the night before I was singing in my hotel room, which was I Will Survive. And so a cappella, I was petrified. I was like, I will survive. So I just had a lot of fun at the audition. And I remember walking out, and John Sticks, who left the body and his spirit is eternal, he was the acting teacher there. I remember he winked at me as I was leaving. And I definitely walked out of that feeling that, okay, I was myself, I was authentic, and I had fun.
Right. Right, and you know, isn't that important when being authentic and being yourself? Because you know, you very well know, and pretty much all of my listeners and fans that follow me, you turn on the television today, and you've got so many of these different reality shows where, you know, and then you have so, you know, much stuff on television where things are made up and actors and actresses don't get the opportunity, I think, to sort of be themselves and be authentic. So I think when you're able to do that in your field and feel really good about it within yourself, that just must be a great feeling.
It's true, and I think there really is at this point in time when there's so many overwhelming, constant stimuli, I think there is a lack of authenticity. And I think even in the arts nowadays, there'll be performers that have a lot of shtick, they have a lot of production, they have a lot of ego, they have a lot of performance power. There's a lot going on, but there's not a lot of experiences that we really can feel, wow, that person is the real deal. And so I think a lot of times today people are masking themselves, covering themselves. They're trying to be a little bit more clever, trying to be, you know, going into a room, and sometimes they don't allow themselves just to be them to be their wonderful self, you know. So I just think one of the main things that I do practice is being me and being true to me. And now that I'm getting back into acting, just I've started to audition, and it's such a great experience, and I'm enjoying it even more than when I got out of Juilliard, just because it's an opportunity to be present, to be in the room, and to know that, okay, well, this was me, and I could walk out not being too concerned what other people are thinking about me, because if I myself am thinking good of me, then, you know, I'm going to stay with that.
Mm-hmm. Valerie going very, very deep on At Home with Victoria tonight. We love it.
Yeah, Victoria, Valerie, VG. And I always sign my emails, I always write VG at the end because I just love that sound, whether it's like VG Power, VG.
Are you
kind
serious?
Of has like a comic book. Yeah, I'm always like VG, VG. A lot of people call
and
me
VG. You
know,
even what's funny, I actually do the same thing most of the time with certain people. I always sign it and say VG. That is crazy. That's hilarious, though. It's great.
See, it's nice that the universe brings people together that should be brought together.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, it's something interesting because I had a conversation with our producer as well as entertainment co-host Michael Kay about you on the phone. I think it was a couple of days ago, or it may have, in fact, been last week. But, you know, we were talking about the show, and, of course, your name came up because you were the next guest that was going to be on there on the show. And I said to Michael, I said, you know, because, you know, Michael always sends me all the information on you guys and, you know, kind of read your bio so I can, you know, halfway be intelligent in conversation when talking and interviewing you on the show. And I said to Michael, I said, you know, I said, Valerie's just got this face. I said, and her face is just so, you know, just unique. I mean, like, you don't have, like, what I would consider an average face. And, of course, you know, everyone has a face that looks different, but there's something about your face to me that really, really just stands out. Has anybody or, you know, agents or sort of folks within your business ever told you that? Because you've got this strong, this kind of very strong-looking face to me.
I love that. Thank you. Thank God. I have at times been told that I'm striking, and, you know, I do realize that I have a body. You know, I sometimes like to think that our body's like our costume. You know, we get to express our divine energy through this body, and I feel like, okay, so the universe, you know, gave me this accurate body to play my part, and
right.
I recognize, as I once wrote down in my journal something that I like to think of a lot, and I find it really helpful, I wrote, I stands for instrument, and with that awareness, I can go into a show and be, I, the instrument, have this voice for the source that has no voice. So if somebody comes up to me and wants to give me praise or even defamation, I don't even have to get so affected. So even if someone says, oh, you have such striking eyes, or so, you know, you look like this, I try to just be like, okay, cool, I, the instrument, got to have this striking face so that I could really be a powerful performer. So I see that it really is an accurate thing, that I do have a striking face, that I am in person. Thank God I have a
it certainly is very striking. So I would just say to all of our listeners out there, if you have not seen her face, then I do recommend that you Google Valerie. All of her information is inside the chat room, and Michael Kay is going to tell us the websites and stuff as well. But I do recommend that you guys just Google her and take a look at some of her pictures, and I guarantee you will know exactly what I'm talking about when I say she's just got this very unique face that actually just really kind of stand out from the crowd. Now, getting back to that face voice of yours and also you using that body as an instrument. Talk a little bit about some of the guest roles that you've had the opportunity to play on some of the shows and just, you know, kind of your process in going into a character and those sorts of things.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. When I was getting my headshot taken by a photographer, Anna Thompson, she at that time was working on a film, Fast Food, Fast Women, that she was playing the lead in, and she said, oh, you should really audition for this character, Wanda, and I got that part in Fast Food, Fast Women. So I got my first booking really before I graduated, and that director, Amos Kolek, I became a muse for him. He wrote me other projects. That film, Fast Food, Fast Women, I did my scenes with a very, very gifted actor who also left his body, Victor Argo, a very, very brilliant man who had a very, very dynamic career, and Amos was very fascinated by our dynamic. And so he wound up writing two other films for us, Angela, and then he wrote Queenie and Lev that got to go to Cannes, and it went to Deauville. And actually, interestingly enough, I was actually in Deauville, Paris, for the festival during September 11th when my face was on buses. I was doing all this press, and I got stuck there during September 11th. So it's interesting because that experience with Amos right away sort of accelerated me, that at a very young age I experienced walking a red carpet, I experienced getting a lot of press, I experienced also not feeling in sync completely with the message of the project. And by that I meant that up until now I really never even told people about Queenie and Love, because there were certain dynamics between me and this man that was 50 years older that I was seducing. Even when I was in the theater, there was a part of me that was like, oh God, this is kind of dirty. I don't even know if I want people to know that I did this film. So there was a certain part of the being in me, the spiritual warrior in me, the person that was hanging out with rabbis on the side, that was very conflicted. Suddenly I'm playing a dominatrix, but I like to have Shabbos meals. You know, that was like sort of where I was at at that point. So this was an interesting thing that the media was taking my presence and interpreting it a lot of times for sexy parts, where sometimes in my spiritual gatherings they were, you know, interpreting my presence more in a powerful spiritual way, maybe thinking, oh, let me set you up with my rabbi's son. And so at that time, too, thank God I was really booking commercials, making a very good living. I got right away a commercial with John Mahoney. It's in my film reel for Mass Mutual that ran a lot, and I got a part on the special victims unit that my scenes were with Ice-T. That isn't in my film reel, but it's a really fun part that I played this scientist who was an expert in studying cigarette butts. It was really funny. So that was a kind of witty part. And I also at that time would do some pilots and go to L.A. and did this show, Men, Women, and Dogs. There's a funny scene from that in my pilot, in my reel, that I would go back to. So really, I graduated in 1999, and then that happened in 2011 in the red carpet. So in those 2 years, I did probably about like 8 films, and, you know, I would do a couple of TV things. So I was working a lot. But as I said, it's really going to start integrating now a lot when I get back into acting, because now I know who I am, and I'm not tormented, and I'm also very clear about my life purpose. So I feel grateful that I took the time to align and to really get in tune with my voice. And the album Antenna really was that experience for me, to really experience how I can be a believer and a performer. And so it became almost like a mission statement, you know?
Yeah, sure. Well, with that said about your album, I think it's a good time for us to bring in producer and entertainment co-host Michael Kay into the conversation. Michael, are you with us now?
Of course I am. I've been sitting on my lips for 18 minutes. I'm telling you,
Michael,
I love this.
Michael, woohoo!
Hello, Valerie Gessner.
Valerie is absolutely fantastic, and I will definitely say this too. She's going very deep on us tonight, isn't she?
That's the lovely thing I love about Valerie Gessner, is that she is the prettiest onion and even smells better. But she's layer upon layer of talent and.
Hello?
Hi, Valerie,
okay,
you still
good.
With us?
Yeah, for a second I went mute, but I'm right there, baby.
Yeah, I think if you can hear me okay, that's good. I think we were having some problems with Michael Kay, but I'm sure he will be back on. But he was talking about you being an onion in layers and layers, and certainly having this conversation, I do like how, yes, you are an onion in that sense, and you're peeling back some of those layers in order for us to have the opportunity to kind of get a chance to really know the real you. Let's switch a little bit, because we want to talk a little bit about your musical career. Now, was music something that you always loved growing up your whole life?
Yeah, music for me has always been my, on some level, like my natural language and religion. I can remember being very young and naturally being able to harmonize when I was a very young child, and my mother would play on the radio, and my best friend, Amit, we would always jam and make up songs. So it's always been for me a very intuitive connection. And so one of the things that is becoming now a trademark, which I'm going to be doing at the Joe's Pub gig on Saturday, which we can talk about more, is that I like to make up songs in the moment where I will call upon the audience, give me three words, and then I'll take these three words, and then it becomes a very natural thing that then I could just create melodies and rhymes. So I think that somehow connecting to the current with music and melody has always probably been one of my leading talents. It's just a very natural force within me.
Well, and let me ask you this. So when you go to the audience and they throw out, you know, those words, so have you ever had moments where you're kind of thinking, oh, my goodness, how am I going to be able to do this and make a connection and get a lyric out of this? Or does it just completely every single time come naturally to you?
There's great footage, actually. You know, if you search Valerie Geffner on YouTube, there's this thing with the three words that I was given, which were aphrodisiac, calligraphy, and horror. And it's amazing footage. It's amazing, amazing footage, because you hear me say, okay, what are the three words? And you hear, you know, aphrodisiac, calligraphy, and horror. And I am actually in this gig on my own, accompanying myself with shakers. And when you look at the footage, it's probably about, you know, 6 seconds that I'm shaking the shaker. And probably at that moment, my being is like, whoa, baby, like, how's this going to connect? And then it just sort of gets plugged in. And then this fabulous song that has such a cute story, and it's really worth seeing how this aphrodisiac calligraphy horror song morphs. Mm-hmm. And so for me, a lot of the music that I write and record has this experience of almost being like a meditation for me. And some of the pieces, even Marilyn's Bones, which is a free download on ValerieGeffner.com, this was an interesting thing that I was sitting with a stack of poetry that this great being, his name is Steve Levitch, there's a documentary about him called The Cruise, and he had all these poems that he had written to me. So we were like sorting through the poetry and going through it, and it was this amazing spontaneous recording. And it wound up being about 10 minutes long, but the last part of it was this letter that he wrote to me, and the very end got to this point that basically said, it got to this understanding that even our wars are worthwhile. And the last line in that jam was, even our wars are worthwhile. And then the music went out. So usually, even in some of the jams that have been recorded, like Marilyn's Bones, thank God my spirit knows when to release it. And I know I just have a special gift and connection to the source, that kind of kinetic flow of the spontaneity is a very natural connection for me.
Hey, guys, it's Michael Kay again.
Yo, Michael's back in the house.
Hi, you're back with
us? Why does this always happen when I have the most exciting guests on? This really fries my butt. So what were we talking about?
But now you're just going to get hotter, baby.
Right. So, Michael, you've been hearing a little bit of the conversation. Anything that you want to ask her that I sort of didn't talk about in terms of film and music?
Yeah, I just want to go ahead and mention again the chat. I'm going to try this again. Big Ron to Don, Goofy Bone, Linda Lofty producing chat, Marilyn Bennett next to Last Dawn, and Stephen McGraw, my partner, is actually in the chat room this time. But, yeah, Antenna was a fantastic thing. You took that all over Berlin. Is that correct, Val?
It's true. I mostly performed in some fabulous gay venues, particularly this place Hafen, which is a notorious place that has a lot of different cabaret people come in, and this also fabulous party, the House of Chantel's. And I performed at a couple of other house parties, and I think that now what's going to happen is that Berlin can become a place, and it's nice to go there in the summer, that I've developed a relationship with a following there that I want to grow. It's a fun place for me to sing.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely wonderful. Michael, speaking of singing, because time is kind of getting away from us, will we be able to listen to one of Val's songs right now?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and listen to My Own Boyfriend, Val. And I think I know what this means, but let's give it a listen. I'd love to go ahead and give you my thoughts.
and tired of all these people on the search to be complete, thinking they're somebody other than themselves that they should meet. I'm my...
Can you make my voice a little bit louder so I can hear it?
I'm my own. I've fallen oh so deeply to learn what I know is true. Instead of looking for another, know the answers inside you. I'm my own boyfriend. I'm my own boyfriend. There's no reason to be lonely. On your own you could get whole. All the needing for another outside yourself takes its toll. Alone I want to be full. All alone I don't want to be full. You think that anyone but me would make me feel free. I'm my own boyfriend. I'm so deep, I learn that as you sow, you reap. There's no reason you should hide from the truth that is inside. But then I realized I was looking for me, not you.
It has a very strong message about loving yourself. I agree, Michael.
Absolutely. Nice. Val, tell us about Joe's Pub, February 5th, 11 o'clock. A fantastic venue to be playing.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. Doors open at 11, and at 11:30, I'm playing live with four fantastic musicians. And I'm really excited because sometimes, like in Berlin, I would do shows with me and tracks. And for Joe's Pub, I knew that I needed to get live people, and I'm involving just people that are fantastic. These two guys are from the Didge Project. They play didgeridoo, and this one guy,
wow,
Tyler Sussman, plays sax and flute, and the guy who plays guitar and my own boyfriend, Anthony Rizzo, will be my guitarist, and this genius guy who plays shakery, K. Kevin Nathaniel is going to be the shakery. And one more plug, this guy Tunji Dada made me the hottest red dress. If people go to Facebook, they'll see the invite. The dress, it's also on my ValerieGeffner.com. I have a blog, and if you just go to my website and hit blog, I have put something that says sneak peek, which are snippets of this red dress. I'm so excited to do this gig. I know it's going to be great. And actually, it's going to be recorded. I'm paying for it to be really professional recorded so that I'll be able to have a CD of Live at Joe's Pub, so it's going to be able to be shared that way, which
is
great.
Oh, that's great. Well, I can definitely tell you, you have piqued my interest about that red dress. So when the show is over, I certainly will be going to my computer to take a look at that. And you mentioned your website. So tell us all the different websites you're on, and also people, if you have a fan page or people can follow you on Facebook and Twitter as well.
That's so sweet. Okay, so my website is my name, Valerie Geffner, ValerieGeffner.com, and we got the VG link. So ValerieGeffner.com is really fun because I'm really developing the Val stream, which you can get to by going to ValerieGeffner.com/Val stream, and also just by hitting blog on the website. And the Val stream has all my own artwork, pictures I take, videos I'm making, poetry. It's just kind of a very dynamic journal, and I'm very excited about the Val stream. I'm also on Facebook, which is a fun way to let people know of shows, and I haven't really developed my fan page there because my regular page has, 1,500 friends, and it's just growing. And so I have a fan page, but I'm more using the Valerie Geffner thing. I like right now when people say, can I be your friend, more than can I be your fan. I'm like, yeah, you can be my friend.
Right.
It just feels really good.
Yeah.
And Twitter I do every now and then. I've not gotten yet really obsessed with Twitter, but I do have Valerie Geffner up on Twitter, and I should get more active with that. It's funny because I'm sitting here right now in front of how my computer has the chat room, and for some reason, just due to my own technical newness, I haven't quite figured out how to type in live. But just know that even though I'm not writing things, I'm so with you guys online.
You're in the chat room. Yeah.
Yes, right. I'm in it.
Well,
We
definitely thank you. Thank you so much for that. And one question I want to ask in terms of the pub, are tickets still available? Can folks still get tickets and come, or do you pay at the door? How does that work?
Yeah, tickets are available. If you go to the Joe's Pub calendar, just joespub.com as a fun site and calendar, you'll see on February 5th, Valerie Geffner, there's a link that you can get tickets. They're $15, which is so worth it. The musicians themselves, my God, it's going to be worth it. And also, you can get tickets at the door. It's not sold out yet. I do know that people have been buying tickets, which is so exciting. My mother, my father, some of my best friends I know are going to be there. So
aww.
I even know some people that I met in the Catskills that are going to be coming to see the show. So it's really, really going to be great. And so basically, you can go to the Joe's Pub site and find me on the calendar and pre-order. And you could also come. The doors open at 11, and you can get tickets there. I'm sure that anybody that comes will get you in.
Be accommodated. Well, let me ask you this. It's not really a question, but more of your thoughts on this before we let you go. A couple of times, or maybe three or four times during our conversation, you mentioned your mom and also your dad and just your fans that support you. And I never like to let anyone leave At Home with Victoria without kind of talking about the people sort of in the background, like your mom and fans and dad that support you, because those people are so important to every single thing that you do. So if you just want to take a minute to gush on your mom and dad and all your fans, we love that here at At Home with Victoria.
That is so great. I love the opportunity. So yes, my mother is just my grandmother, my father's mother used to call my mother the Rock of Gibraltar. And it's very special because although my parents were divorced, my mother and her ex-mother-in-law became always mother and daughter. And my grandmother, who was a very big role model of my life, she is no longer with us in the body, but she's very connected. I'm wearing her ring. We shared the same Hebrew Yiddish name, Vichna, which means tender one, which has an aspect of my personality along with the valor, Valerie. So my grandmother, Vera, was a very big part of my life. And today is my grandmother, Dottie's birthday. My
happy
living grandparent.
Really?
It is her birthday today, and she is gorgeous. Grandma Dottie. There's pictures Michael may have seen that I've put pictures up of my Grandma Dottie.
Oh,
she
yeah.
is so beautiful. She is so beautiful. Yeah. And my mother did the most gorgeous thing with my grandmother. They got her to write her autobiography. I advise everyone to do that with their grandparents, and it was so sweet. Even at the end, all of us in the family, the grandparents had, the grandchildren and the children wrote a page. So instead of saying what you wanted to say, when it's too late, my grandmother got to receive her autobiography with this special edition of all of our own words and just
that
love for her.
That is awesome.
And I will say that my father is a very kind of radical, dynamic person. He's a musician, and he's a powerful guy, and he definitely is a interesting and powerful part of my life. And someone else that I have to just give credit to is someone that in my album I call my knowing guide, and her name is Pat Windham, and I speak with her on the phone usually once or twice a week, and she really is for me, you could say therapist, even though that's not exactly what she is. She's more like my guide,
right.
And she's someone that gives me a lot of support, and she is someone that is a very wise and important person. She and my mother and my grandmother are the women in my life that are really my support system. My sister is also incredible, and I'm very grateful to have this support. And thank God I have great friends. One other person I just want to mention is that Amit Desai, who I've known for over 20 years, I also credited him in my album as major collaborator. And in March, we're going to be doing some interesting movie musical that he and I are going to do a project with my friend Nick, who there's footage of Nick and I singing online, and we're going to do something very interesting, some kind of film that you should keep updated with. But basically, Amit is a very great person in my life, and I'm just grateful that I have a crew of people, and also every day is an opportunity to meet new people. I really think that love is instant when it's true, and in 1 second I can authentically mean, hey, I love you. And so I live my life now being open, and I'm very open to everyone, and New York, of course, is a spontaneous city, so I have some people, and I also tend to have a lot of people in general, you know?
And that's how we met, Val, was the very first time that I actually heard you and Nick Satinder go ahead and sing, and I said, how is it possible to go ahead and love someone without knowing them? Remember that? That was way back in December of last year.
So great. See how you can just love instantly? It's so easy, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Val, I want to thank you so much for joining us and stuff. You can go ahead and check out Val's music at ValerieGeffner.com. All the links are up in chat. Linda's doing a wonderful job there. You can also check her out on cdbaby.com/Valerie Geffner. All of her movies available on Amazon.com. You can go ahead and again check all the chat room for all the information. But Val, I want to thank you so much for joining us. And I love you. So
I want to just quickly also say that on the ValerieGeffner.com, there's a thing called the Val Store that I will personally send you a CD hard copy with postage and everything. I'll sign it for $13, and you'll also see I make shirts and art projects, so I can really, from my own, when you go to the website with the Val Store, hand deliver and give you guys kisses and write you poems and really have it be personal and sweet.
Oh, honey,
Val, you have to promise us that new project that you're working on. Make sure you connect with Michael and you come back on At Home with Victoria and talk about that, because if you're going to be out there, you know, where there are performances or, you know, things like that, we certainly want to know about that. So we hope that you come back on the show and visit us again.
I would love it. I would love
Beautiful.
It.
Thank you
so
much.
Fun. Thank you,
Val. Thank
you,
Val. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks, honey.
And everyone, that was Val Geffner, who was joining us tonight. She is a musician, she's an actress, and as you can tell, just an all-around very, very nice person. And also, I really like her, Michael, because she really, goes very deep into her soul and who she is, and articulates that very well to the listener. So I'm sure some of her wisdom and what she talked about tonight, I'm sure that somebody out there will get some interesting information out of that, because she is very, like I consider, just sort of a deep, deep person. So we're just very happy to have her sort of on At Home with Victoria and to continue to follow her career. And speaking of careers, there's another young man who's probably waiting to talk to us now who has a wonderful career in the caking industry, and that's the one and only Jay. Is Jay on the line with us?
Jay's right here.
Hey, Jay, sorry to keep you waiting. Welcome to At Home with Victoria.
No, thank you very much for having me. I'm thrilled to be a part of your show, and I've been anxiously awaiting all evening. I couldn't wait to get to talk to you guys.
Good, honey. Thank you so much.
Well, Jay,
Jay,
well, actually, before we talk about that, if we can formally, Michael, you may just want to go ahead and introduce him, his full name, and sort of talk about TLC so everybody will know exactly who he is.
Absolutely. Jay Qualls, third runner-up in the Next Great Baker competition on TLC, the one with Dana Herbert won. And Jay Qualls is a master cake decorator. He's right now coming to us live from a bridal fair that he's actually down in Nashville doing. So I want to thank you for taking the time out, Jay, for coming on. But how was the whole Next Great Baker experience for you? I was so excited going to the finale and meeting you and everybody there, but that is a hectic routine.
Man, it was a great experience. Looking back now, everybody asked me, like, would you do it again? Would you do it again? I was like, heck yeah, I'd do it again in a minute. I had a blast. It was really tough, and it pushed me to do things that I would have probably never pushed myself to do. And I pushed myself pretty hard every day to try something new and to set myself apart from the industry. And when they called and asked if I was interested, I initially told them no, and then decided, well,
so
maybe
why
I
no?
should.
Why initially no?
Well, I mean, I have a growing business here in Tennessee, and we've reached out past Tennessee's boundaries and out into the other part of the country now. Thank goodness, people are interested in what I do enough to have me come do their wedding cakes or their groom's cakes or things like that for them. And I really didn't know if I had auditioned for a couple of shows prior to this particular show and didn't get picked for it, those shows. And it's a grueling process. People don't realize how stressful and how quick they want things. And I think that's part of the process to see if your stamina is there from the very beginning, because reality TV is not easy. It is so I didn't think I could, you know, afford the time to do it. And then I was like, you know what? I only live once. I'm going to do this. But I'm going to do it my way this time. So I pretty much put my own audition tape together and gave them what they were looking for. But I did it in a creative way And it evidently worked because I got called back in the top 20 a couple months after I'd been in the audition.
Let me just stop you there 1 second, because you mentioned the audition tape. I looked at your audition tape last night on YouTube.
Uh-oh.
And I have to say, Jay, let me tell you this, darling. From the time that I pushed play until the time that it was over, I laughed, and then I laughed some more. That is the funniest thing
so
I have ever seen. So basically, so you guys, if you haven't seen his audition tape, just go to YouTube, type in his name. I guarantee you it will come up. But basically the premise is that Jay has this cake, a beautiful cake that he's made, and the cake is sort of talking to Jay, interviewing Jay. So Jay brushes his teeth and the cake is there. You know, Jay's in the swimming pool and the cake is there, but the cake is sort of taking on a life of its own, where it literally talks to Jay and interviewed Jay to ask Jay, so why should you be on this show? So if you came up with that, or whoever put that together, it was really, really funny.
Well, thanks. Well, to be honest with you, Victoria, really what we did was I asked myself when we started this process, and we literally had 12 hours to do that audition tape and upload it to YouTube for High Noon Entertainment and TLC. And I was like, my other two auditions were boring. I thought I just sat and talked, and that's really not who I am. And so I really started trying to define who I was in the cake world. And basically, I'm married to my work. I eat, sleep, and breathe cake. So that's how the premise came about. So I started thinking about things, my daily routines that I do every single day. And all of my friends that know me and all of my colleagues that worked with me know that I truly love the wedding cake. And the wedding cake encapsulates everything I do every day, from the moment I wake up until I'm playing in the swimming pool at night. I'm thinking about cake, 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 cake all the time. And that's how that came about. So we picked some of my favorite things to do, which is swimming and drinking coffee and sleeping and, you know, all those things, and brought the sweet little cake into it with us.
It worked very well. So again, for those of you who haven't had the opportunity to see Jay's audition tape, do yourself a favor, go to YouTube and make sure you look at it. I guarantee you it definitely is going to crack you up. Michael, I know you're ready to jump in there with some more questions. You go ahead.
Yeah, the audition tape was hilarious. I want to go back to the chat room and stuff like that. Marilyn Bennett wants to know how much of a grueling process the next Greg Baker was. Now, I know that that was made us to believe that it was shot over 8 weeks, but actually the entire show itself was shot over 21 days. Is that correct?
That's correct. In 21 days, we had one day off, and it was a Sunday. And so there really isn't anything open on Sunday in Hoboken. In Manhattan, there is until 5, you know, as far as flies, things like that goes. But really and truly, we had no time. We were on set 16 hours a day with no outside connection to the real world. Like, they took our phones and our laptops, and we didn't really have any interaction. We worked literally just about every moment we were on set. So it was hot. It was there were lots of obstacles. There were some very hard challenges. And as you saw, there were several accidents. That was indicative of, like, how really and truly real it was as far as that goes. The days were long and very hard. And I've had some really long days in cake. But yeah.
So what was a typical day? What was a typical day? You guys are in the studio. You're filming at what, 7 in the morning, 6 in the morning, and you're done at what time?
Well, when we first started filming, you know, the challenges got harder as we went through the season. And if you made it through the one challenge, then you're faced with the next Baker's challenge and then the elimination challenge. So we started out getting to the studio usually around 7. Yeah, between 7 and 7:30. So we weren't up until around 6:30, depending on, you know, your morning routine. But we'd go into the studio, we'd get mic'd, get dressed, go down to the set, and we would start. And then everything was pretty much real time as long as it was a real challenge. The 8-hour challenges or 11-hour challenges were true time. Other portions, like some of the Baker challenges and things like that, because of TV and filming, it takes a long time to get that right. We didn't have redos in the Baker's challenges. I have to say to that for sure. That part is completely authentic, and what you see on camera is truly what happened. And then we would get done sometimes at midnight, sometimes 1, sometimes 2 in the morning, and then have to be back up in the next morning at 5:30, 6 o'clock to be out at 7. And as we went further, as you go further into the competition, it got earlier and earlier and later and later. So you became exhausted, disoriented about what day it was, because you never saw the light of day except for going in the set and coming out. And you never had any social interaction with anyone except for your castmates. And you become really close to those people and you get to know them. I have to admit.
Speaking of that, being close to people, you and Dana became very good friends as a result of the show. Is that correct?
Dana, yeah, and I kind of knew Dana a little bit because he had been on another Ultimate Cake Off previously in one of the seasons for that. And we had crossed paths, I think, once or twice at a cake show or something. And I knew about him, and people knew about me because of my affiliation with Martha Stewart Weddings. And you know, so there was a little bit of, you know, we kind of knew each other a little bit. But, I honest to goodness, I really enjoyed meeting everybody on the cast. I really did. Everybody was very diverse, very different. They certainly had their own methods, I'll call them, to approaching cake and cake decorating and baking. But, you know, we all had a mutual respect for the most part for each other. And, yes, Dana has become one of my closest friends, and so is Megan and Karina and Greggy. I mean, Joanna. Joanna's amazing. It's crazy because we spent a short period of time together, but also a very long bonding period together, which is weird. I called home one night and said, I'm literally playing Survivor here. Yeah. I watch Survivor every year, every season, and I'm like, I'm kind of watching out about who I'm sitting beside and who I'm talking to and who I'm aligning with. And it's weird. It's like crossing Project Runway and Survivor and throwing in cakes.
Interesting.
That's what it reminds me of.
Absolutely. You got a lot of projects coming up with Dana, actually, doing the Polar Springs Plunge in Rehoboth. I think that's this weekend. And you're doing a wedding cake demo in Wilmington, so I'll get to see you again on Monday, which is really good. And then Shelley Rand's CD launch. That's a lot of stuff. You must have been prepared for, you know, the challenges prepared you for this next little bit in your life.
Well, we're very fortunate that people like what we do and like my designs, and I've been very focused on reinventing. My story really is a redemption story. I was in healthcare administration my whole life and baked and decorated cakes for friends and family out of necessity for my daughter when she first turned one. Like the previous guest, there's always somebody in your life that influences you, and I have three of those women that influenced me as far as baking goes. I'm a Southern baker. We use lots and lots of sugar in everything and lots of butter in everything. And we love it. And it just wouldn't be the same without it. But thank goodness there's people out there that like what I do. And I have a lot of things that I still have left that I want to do. Dana and I are collaborating together to do some things. I would love to work with any of the other castmates from the show. I would love to work with Greggy. I think Greggy is an amazing designer. I've got a coffee table book that I'm working on of all my original designs, along with inspiration.
What's the coffee table book? Is that a book that's going to sort of explain how you made those particular cakes and
Exactly. I'm inspired by everything I see, honest to goodness. And for the past 6 years, I've been just trying to really push myself to become a better artist. And I consider myself an artist because my medium is sugar. And I've tried new things. I've tried to push myself to do new things that I would have never done before, and chocolate and sugar. And so the coffee table book has come about by every year around here in Nashville and Tennessee, I've created a little bit of a buzz every year to find out what I'm going to come out with, a new line of cakes, just like fashion, in January of every year. So I start in July of the year before. I start doing lots of research. I go to New York and get inspiration just by walking the streets of Manhattan and Harlem and the Village and just everywhere, and taking pictures and taking notes and sketching. And then I come back in September and I start sketching and drawing, and all of those I've saved over the past 5 years. And I've collected things that inspire me. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a coffee table book that explains and shows the inspiration, whether it be a feather, a fabric, a wallpaper, a window, an architectural detail, whatever it might be, a shoe, a dress, and then it will show the element.
Very cool.
Yeah, and then it shows the element of how to do it. And then on the other side of the page, you see the result of all of that inspiration. And we're going to give a little bit of there's going to be some literary stuff behind the inspiration page, and gives you a little bit of history about what I was thinking when I was doing that design, or what it really started out as. And because sometimes when you design something on paper, it's not really completely cohesive in sugar. I mean, your mind your imagination is the blank canvas, and you have to figure out a way to turn it into sugar. And I've got a surprise for some people coming up this year that I hope will change some things. I discovered I had a revolution this past week using fondant
seen. You make sure you give us scoop on it on At Home with Victoria when that happens, Jay.
Don't worry, this is going to be cool. We're going to show some pictures. We're going to do some teasing, some pictures on Facebook, and hopefully we'll see what happens. I have some things in mind I want to do with fondant that I don't think's ever been done before. And,
interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So we've had the coffee table book where people are inviting me to speak and to demonstrate. We want to teach. I want to share. Cake decorating is a shared industry, okay? They touch on it in culinary school. they touch on it in culinary school. International Cake Exploration Society is the, or ISIS, is the international cake club, basically, of the world. And they have what's called in each state and country a day of sharing twice a year. And everyone in mm-hmm. that state comes together because everyone has takes a tool, and then they learn how to use that tool in a different way to have a the same or a better outcome. And in culinary school or pastry school, you learn the art of pastry and you learn the science of baking and cooking, but you don't really learn the techniques and methods of cake decorating. Because it's such an individual, everybody's hand is different. I could pipe a beaded border, and Dana could pipe a beaded border. Even though it's the same beaded border, it's going to look very different.
It's going to look different, yeah.
You know?
Interesting. So yeah, very interesting.
What I want to do is I want to reach out to America, and I just went to Canada and taught a class, a wedding cake class, and I love people. I love people. I love entertaining people. I love teaching. I want to share my craft with people. I want to share what I've learned and what I've failed. And I have made so many mistakes as a business owner and as an adult, as a professional. But I've made some really good decisions and learned some hard lessons through this whole process.
Right.
But
yeah, no mistakes, Jay. No mistakes ever. Everything is a learning experience.
It is a learning experience. I didn't know what fondant was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I had no
wow.
idea what it was 5 years
hilarious.
Ago.
Hilarious.
I know,
I hate to go ahead and cut you buzz off. We're running out of time here. I want to go ahead and make mention of Shelley Wren. Shelley Wren's one of our favorite singers and provides our lovely open to the show and stuff. And, Jay, I just reading now on Facebook, you're not going to be able to make her CD launch debut, but will you still be doing a cake for her? I'm just curious.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful.
We are going to do a cake for her. Unfortunately, they booked me for another event that night, and I didn't know, but yes, Shelly and I are going to chat, and we're going to talk about what she wants, and we're going to make it so. And I'm so thrilled for her. It's a secret. Nobody knows this. And my final audition, if it ever comes to public, but it's a secret. I always wanted to be a country music artist.
There we go.
So
really?
I love this thing. Yes. So I have a love for music, being here from Music City, and it's near and dear to my heart. So
I can
I'm honored.
You know what, Jay? I can definitely see you connecting with Shelley and she getting you up on the stage at one of her concerts and you lend your voice with her. I think that would be so awesome.
Girl, I would get on that stage in 5 seconds and sing with her. Do you hear me?
That's what I like to hear.
Michael, we've
one thing I'm not
happen.
Is die. I'm not kidding. One thing I'm not is
happen,
die.
Hey, Jay, you just got to go to the chat room here. Question, do you eat cake?
Oh, my God. Do you know what I'm doing right now at this bridal show? I swear
eating
I'm
cake?
Not joking. I'm eating. We have Maple's Cake Bar, which is cake shots. And I am right this second eating a cake shot that is a lemon pound cake with a blueberry Meyer lemon curd filling and a lemon buttercream frosting. And then the other cake shot that I'm holding in my hand that I have all over my mouth right now is a chocolate buttermilk pound cake with a hazelnut buttercream filling with toffee chips on top of it, and I have already eaten like five. So
Jay, Victoria yes. right now is salivating like you have no idea.
Yes.
Vic is a sugar
wish you were here.
Yes.
I wish you were here, Victoria, because we have so much cake to eat.
Jay, before I forget, because I am salivating, speaking of this, a couple of my friends knew that you were going to be on the show today, and they wanted to know, do you actually ship orders? So are you? Would you be able to make a cake and somebody pay for it and you ship it through the mail or not?
Well, we've tried it. It's something I would love to be able to do. It just never really works out.
It's not practical,
it's just not practical, because I would love to do it, but we're all, like, struggling to figure out a way to do it unless you freeze it. And we kind of think that's not – you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't freeze cake, you know?
Okay.
But if we ever figure out a way, we certainly would try. But we tried it several times, just mailing it just very close to see what happens, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, I gotcha. I gotcha.
Sorry, but I'll come and make them a cake if they want to bring me up to bake for them. I absolutely would love to come and bake.
Fantastic. Jay, I just want to make a mention, too. All your information is up in our chat room, and Linda Lively is doing a great job reminding everybody about maplescakes.com. So I want to thank you, buddy.
Can I ask everybody to friend me on Facebook if you just go to Jay Qualls and add me as your friend? I love it when I get friends, and I really do read all the comments, and that's what I do late at night because it relaxes me, and I enjoy so much getting to talk to my fans, and they mean a lot to me. And if you would just go to Jay Qualls on Facebook or follow me on Twitter at Maples Cakes, I would love it. I would love it. It would be so much fun. And I will try to say hi any chance I get back to you. I'm having a blast. I'm having so much fun. And there's lots to come, guys. Just wait and see.
Well, Jay, we would definitely going to have you back on At Home with Victoria. So, darling, thank you so much and much success.
Thank you.
Wonderful things are going to continue to come to you as a result. And,
if
you haven't seen his video, do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube or friend him on Facebook, and I guarantee you you'll be able to find it because it was hilarious. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, guys, for having
me on the show.
I'm so excited. Michael, I'll see you Monday night, I hope. And,
I'm going to be there at 6 with camera guys.
We can't wait. We're going to have so much fun. We're going to have a blast.
We're going to go out for dinner while you're here, too, okay?
Good. I would love it. I've never been to Delaware but once. I've only been to Wilmington once, and everybody was so kind, and I had such a warm welcome. So I can't wait to come back.
He'll definitely take care of you, Jay. Thanks so
much. Well, I'm flying up tomorrow, so I'll see everybody in Delaware this week.
Great, buddy. Can't wait.
Again, everyone, that was the one and only Jay Qualls who was joining us. He was one of the contestants on TLC's The Next Great Baker, and he's going to be in Delaware this Monday in Wilmington, if that's correct, Michael. He's going to be combining his technique and design, and they're going to be sort of doing a workshop with the winner of The Next Great Baker, Dana Herbert. Speaking of Dana, Michael, he is also going to be on At Home with Victoria as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm very excited. Actually, Dana will be on the show on the 8th, right after the 7th. The 7th is the date that Jay and Dana will go ahead and do the wedding cake seminar. And then on the 8th, Dana will go ahead and talk about everything, The Next Great Baker, and what it's like to work with Buddy, what's it like to work with Jay, how are the challenges. So we've got a full hour with him coming up on the 8th, so I'm very, very excited. But I just want to go ahead and say thank you once again to Jay Qualls, who took the lovely time out at a very busy bridal show. But again, Victoria, you know, he's a cake guy, and you're a cake woman, so I think really, you know, that's a match made in heaven.
I know,
Thanks, guys,
I know. And
Victoria, it was great to talk to you too.
Thank you, Jay. You have a great night.
Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
I certainly have no doubt that one of these days I will have the opportunity to taste one of Jay's cakes. I have no doubt about that. But Michael, we are going to end the show if we haven't already, because we've been like going way over today. So thank you to everybody, all our listeners who decided to stay with us. And we're going to end the show with one of Val's songs.
Absolutely. We're going to end the song with She Said, or end the show with She Said from Valerie Geffner. Once again, you can go ahead and find her. All the information is up in chat. I want to go ahead and give a special shout out. I added a little bit more time, Victoria. So to Beautiful Butterfly, Goofy Bone, guest 18916, guest 20722, Linda Lively, great job in the chat room. Really appreciate it. Marilyn Bennett, Next to Last Dawn, and Stephen McGraw, who's in the bed right next to me. So, Victoria, thanks. It was a great show, and I'm going to play some music here, but honey, you have a great night and have a good sleep. This is Valerie Geffner with She Said. Thanks, honey. Have a good night.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Miss me. to me without speaking. Love me without tweaking. She said, she said, she said, she said.
Truly, I'm groovy, but she has to move me.